League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Final hour of The Boss and the Gloss. Jake Asman filling in for The Boss, David Gao, and Carla Dawson. They'll be back, I'm sure, next week. Lots still to do this hour. We'll talk plenty of baseball as we now know the postseason teams. We know the matchups. We had two wild card games the next 2 days. Today we had two Game 163s. We had the Dodgers at home taking on the Colorado Rockies to try and win the NL West. Dodgers won there. And the earlier game at Wrigley Field, it was the road team, the Milwaukee Brewers, capturing the division. So the Cubs will play a one-game playoff tomorrow at home. Wrigley Field will host the wild card game. They're going to host the Colorado Rockies. And then the following day, the American League Yankees and the A's. We'll get to more baseball later this hour. And at 8:40 Eastern time, or I should say 8:40 Central, 9:40 Eastern time, Dan Butyk of CBS Sports. We'll check in. We'll go around the NFL with him. Yesterday, I'm watching the Jets-Jaguars game, and I'm watching this game when it was clearly over. Why? Because I'm a miserable Jets fan. That is why. And the Jets are going to be a bad team this year. And it's not because they have a rookie quarterback. It's because they are as poorly coached as any team in the league. And you have my word that when the Jets season is over, Todd Bowles will be fired. Because this has been 4 years of the same garbage with this head coach.
Sources confirm this, or?
This is going to happen. I can tell you right now, because I see where we're headed. I see where the season's going. But I'm not going to bash the Jets now, because you know what? I could go all show doing that. And I'll save it for my weekend show. I want to talk about what Doug Marrone did. So Doug Marrone went for two after scoring a touchdown to take a 31-12 lead over the Jets with 25 seconds to go. So he scores a touchdown and decides to go for two, and people were accusing Doug Marrone of running up the score. Now, today, Doug Marrone said, if I had to do it all over and I knew this was going to happen, yeah, I wish someone would have said something and told me not to do it. Because the one thing I don't want to do is get my character attacked, which has happened in the past and happens again. Real quick, Blake Bortles in the postgame yesterday. He was asked, well, Blake, what happened? Take a listen.
Were you surprised that Doug called for going for two there at the end?
Yeah, I just work here.
Blake Bortles just works here, and so do I. We have a lot to do. True or false with Jose Partida is next here on SB Nation Radio.
Hey! This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, we continue here on a Monday evening. The Boss and the Gloss, Jake Asman in for The Boss and the Gloss. Taking you till the gold standard, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Quick scoreboard check, Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Broncos. 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. We're tied at 10. Patrick Mahomes, 6 of 12 for 54 yards. He does have a rushing touchdown, and he's played well with his legs. He's made some throws at times, but really, offensively, it's been a bit sluggish for both teams. Case Keenum for Denver, 7 of 9, 84 yards passing. The touchdown run for the Broncos was on a Royce Freeman 18-yard run. So there's your scoring, other than the two field goals won by each team. So 10-10, about 5 minutes and change to go in the second quarter. We'll continue to keep you posted there should anything unfold. But it's a segment I normally do on my Saturday show. We're going to do it here. It's time for a little true or false.
Time for true.
I know it's a weird thought, but it's true.
Or false.
No, that's just flat out false.
On the Jake Asman Show.
And here we go, true or false. In for Nick Shahara this week, this Monday evening, is Jose Partida. Jose, take it away.
All right, so let's do it. Question one. Earl Thomas's injury proves that he was right to hold out, and that Le'Veon, too, was right to hold out.
True. I don't have an issue with what the player decides to do. My issue with Le'Veon Bell was the fact that he was holding out, but apparently he had told his teammates he was not going to miss a regular season game. So that's why I felt his teammates had a right to be upset, because he led them down a path to believe that he was going to be back. Earl Thomas, he had a right to show up. If he wants to show up, that's his doing. But I talked about this earlier, Jose. There's no right way for the player here, right? If Earl Thomas doesn't show up, he's selfish, like Le'Veon Bell's the bad guy. If he does show up and he gets hurt, which is what happened yesterday, now he's out for the year, now all of a sudden Earl Thomas is an idiot for showing up when he'd be criticized if he didn't. So the player really can't win here, but I think it's true. It's up to the player's discretion, and how much money do they want to lose? You're sacrificing a lot of game checks by not showing up for your respective team.
All right, ready for the next one?
Let's do it.
Despite the win last night, the Texans will finish fourth in the AFC South and pick between the top five picks in the 2019 NFL Draft.
Despite the win last night, the Texans will finish fourth. I'm going to say false. I don't think they're that bad. I don't think they're top five pick in the draft bet. I don't. I think this team's going to win a lot more games than I think we thought they might win when they were 0-3. Now, if they were 0-4, then you start to have that conversation. I think there's a very good chance this team is 3-3 headed to Jacksonville in a few weeks. If you look at the schedule, next week, Cowboys, Sunday Night Football, NRG will be rocking. That's a winnable game. That's a winnable game for the Houston Texans. I'm excited to be there for it. I look at the following week, home game against the Bills. Why can't the Houston Texans be 3-3? And then you know what? You get to 3-3, you have a shot. You do have a shot. Not saying you're going to win the division. Jacksonville might have that locked up, but you have a shot to be in the mix in a weak AFC. So I think, if anything, Houston's a lot closer to a 7-win football team than they probably are to a 4- or 3-win football team, which is where you're going to be if you're picking in the top five.
All right. Jimbo Fisher was wrong for grabbing the face mask of one of his players.
False. I think people are making too much of this situation with Jimbo. I think it's a football thing, man. And I think you look at that situation with Jimbo Fisher, the way that he reacted to that situation, the way that the player whose face mask was essentially grabbed said that Jimbo was just trying to protect me and that he didn't mean anything by it, and Jimbo's a great coach and I support him. I wanted to hear from the player first. If the player had an issue with it, or the player said something that was different from what Jimbo was saying, that he was just trying to look out for the player, then I think you have an issue.
But do you think the player would have came out and directly said that? I don't think so.
I just don't think the player was sincere in his remarks about the whole thing. The player was a linebacker, was senior captain on the team, Tyrell Dotson. He's a starting linebacker. And he had just got into a scuffle with an Arkansas player, so Jimbo was trying to protect him. Football is an emotional game. I think we're trying to make too much of this situation. Jimbo Fisher, to me, should not be getting blasted for what he did. Now, could he have handled it better in the future? Sure. But I'm going to give Jimbo a pass here. I'm not going to kill him for that. So I stand by what I said. I don't think it's as big of a deal with the whole face mask or everything as some people try to make it seem it is. I think that's football.
Halloween is the most underappreciated holiday of the fall-winter season.
Oh. Is Halloween really underappreciated? Halloween, to me, was always an excuse for people to kind of go out, party, excuse to dress up, not wear any clothing. That, to me, was what Halloween was.
Like literally every holiday. An excuse to drink, excuse to not wear
anything. Who's getting naked on Thanksgiving? Well, I don't know what you do at your Thanksgiving dinner.
Your Thanksgivings are pretty tame, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe your Thanksgivings are a little different than me. I can't see how I say Halloween's underappreciated. Halloween is appreciated. People use Halloween to celebrate multiple days. Halloween could be on a Wednesday, let's say, and people are going to celebrate Halloween weekend on a Friday, a Saturday. They'll have the office party during the week. Do we do an office party here at Gal, by the way?
I don't think so, but we do Christmas and Thanksgiving, which are they make pretty good food. So.
All right. I'm looking forward to that one. And if Halloween falls in the middle of the week, the following weekend, it's still kind of Halloween weekend. It's time to dress up and not wear clothes again. Ooh. I don't know. I look at Halloween weekend, and I think it is appreciated. I happen to think Halloween, hot take here, I think Halloween's a bit overrated.
Ooh,
I think there are better holidays. Give me Thanksgiving over Halloween any day of the week.
I think
twice
it's because,
on Thursdays.
I think it's because of the placement of where Halloween is that we don't appreciate it as much as we should.
Halloween is tough because sometimes it's right in the mix of baseball playoffs. The World Series is going on usually. You have the football. Sometimes Halloween, it's going to take a backseat to what is normally a huge couple weeks in sports that we have coming up.
All right, next one. There's a new food craze, which actually is kind of tied in with Halloween, but it's a candy corn pizza.
Candy corn pizza, you're telling me, is a new food craze?
Yes.
Have you had candy corn pizza?
I have not, but I have.
Would
a
you
feeling,
try it?
I have a feeling you want to try it.
I think I would try it.
Really?
True story. My mom, who I'm sure is listening, she's a big fan, she would always bring candy corn around the house growing up. So I always would have candy corn with her. I don't know if she would have candy corn pizza, though. I didn't even know that was a thing until you sent me the picture of it.
It looks disgusting.
I got to be honest. It's probably not good, but would I try it? I think I would try it, yes.
I don't really like candy corn, but the explorer in me wants to try it just to say that I've tried it. But candy corn to me is disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone. I'll leave it at that.
All right, next one. Over the weekend, J.R. Smith took to social media to express his anger and frustration about the NBA informing him that he'll have to cover up his Supreme tattoo that he got on his calf. So what I have for you is J.R. Smith should not cover up his Supreme tattoo during the NBA season, and Supreme should pay the fine for him. True or false?
True. He was that committed to Supreme by tattooing it on his body. A guy got a permanent thing of ink on him. For Supreme, J.R. Smith should absolutely not cover it up. And in fact, Supreme should pay the fine because they're getting incredible advertising, right?
And Supreme is so good at marketing. They took was it the New York Post they took the front page out of one day? And they could make so much money off of the Supreme could.
I agree. And I think if you look at J.R. Smith's career, he's made plenty of money. He can afford the fine, but you know what? So can Supreme. Supreme should pay for it. This guy was committed and invested. He invested his time, his money, and the pain of getting that ink tattooed on his body with that logo. So I will say true. Supreme should pay it.
The Los Angeles Lakers will not only make the playoffs, they will finish top five in the Western Conference.
I'm going to say false. I think the Lakers are closer to the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed than they are top five. Now, could things change and maybe at the trade deadline they acquire another star? Yeah, I think things could change then. But I think right now, even though they have LeBron, who are they that much better than in the West? It's going to take time for this team to gel. And probably when they hit their stride, they're going to be so down in the standings, they're going to end up finishing 6th or 7th, maybe 8th, that maybe they are a better 6th or 7th seed than your typical 6th or 7th seed in the West because they have LeBron and because they gelled throughout the year. But the West is really good. I don't think the Lakers are just going to be able to just show up and be a top five seed. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they bring in another star, but I don't see it. I think they're closer to 6, 7, or 8 in the West.
Despite the strong case he made over the weekend, Justin Verlander will not finish as a Cy Young for the AL. That honor belongs to Blake Snell.
Yeah, I'm going to say true on this. I think Blake Snell, when you look at what he did for the Rays, I mean, they won 90 games. The guy was a 20-game winner. He won the ERA title in the AL. I mean, what more do you need to see? from Blake Snell. And as great as Verlander is, and Verlander's incredible, and his bullpen this year took away a lot of wins that Verlander should have had.
He had several games at the beginning of the season where he was getting nothing offensively.
No question. But Blake Snell's ERA is 1.89. He's 21-5. I'm pulling up his numbers here. I mean, he had an unbelievable year. And can we give the Rays a bone? They won 90 games. You realize that the Tampa Bay Rays, if they were in the National League, would have won some of the divisions in the NL. The Tampa Bay Rays could have been a playoff team, but they were in the NL.
Hell, didn't the Indians? How many more games did the Indians
win? The Indians won 91.
They won one more game.
The Tampa Bay Rays won 90, and they weren't even close to the Red Sox.
By like 15 games.
Weren't even close. The Red Sox won 108. The Yankees won 100. And the Rays had an amazing year. I'll tell you what. The Rays aren't going to the playoffs, but I think they have the Cy Young winner in Blake Snell. And I would give the Manager of the Year award in the American League, I'd give it to Kevin Cash over Bob Melvin. Melvin's done a great job with the A's. They've had the best record in baseball since, like, June. That being said,
no love for Alex Cora.
Did anyone see the Rays winning 90 games? No. Alex Cora is a very good manager. But the Red Sox are a great team, but he did a better job than Kevin Cash taking the Rays to 90 wins. Name me three Tampa Bay Rays besides Blake Snell. Could you even do it?
No.
Exactly. Evan Longoria is not there anymore. Nope, neither is David Price. And they traded Chris Archer. So you have any other Rays? Probably not. I would give it to Kevin Cash.
The AL was absolutely loaded with power this season, as we just mentioned. That being said, the NL was the most compelling of the two leagues this year.
Compelling, I would say yes, because we had two game 163s. And really, from June on, we knew the teams in the American League. So true, the NL was more compelling. However, the AL, I think the five teams in the American League are all better than the five teams in the National League. I think if the A's get to the World Series, they're better than whoever they play. And I think if any of the National League teams get to the World Series, which that makes no sense, someone will get to the World Series from the National League. Whichever team from the NL gets to the World Series will be a pretty significant underdog against whichever team they line up against in the AL.
To your point, the Dodgers started so bad this year, and it took them 163 games to win the division.
The Dodgers are like the weirdest, like good team, if that makes sense. They were not good this year, but they found a way, and maybe that's a sign they're about to get hot. We'll see, but we'll get to baseball in the next segment. But how about the fact you had not one, but two game 163s today? That's exactly what baseball wanted when they enacted the second wild card. And now you have a wild card matchup tomorrow, a wild card one on Wednesday, playoffs start Thursday. Baseball's got a lot of fun times coming up for them these next few weeks.
All right, so last one. Earlier today, Netflix announced that they will allow their audience to interact with the programming and, in a sense, select the way episodes will end. This is the future of television, true or false?
They will allow the way you could select your own alternate ending to a TV show?
You can select the ending you want for a specific episode. So, for example, episode 1 of season 5 of Black Mirror, you'll be able to pick how you want that episode to end.
Oh, I don't like that. That's false. That's not the future. Who wants to have pick their ending to a TV show? You get what you get, and you don't get upset. That's what I learned in, like, elementary school. However the show goes.
I think I'm with you on that. It's a cool idea. And if it's going to work on any TV show, it's going to work on Black Mirror.
Anyway, so if you're watching, like, Breaking Bad, and it's like, if you want Walter White to live, watch this one. Or if you want to see how we really wanted to go, watch this one. What are we doing?
The only show that I also would have been cool with that happening is How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if you're familiar, if you watched it.
I've seen episodes.
Do you want me to tell you how it ends? Spoiler alert to everyone out there.
I'm going to say no only because I'm sure there's somebody listening right now in the car that's about to change the channel. If you spoiled it, maybe they're watching it for the first time.
I'll tell you during the break then.
Tell me during the break. That's a great idea. That was true or false. Excellent job, Jose. So I mentioned baseball. I want to get into it in our next segment because I have an argument to be made for an American League team that I think a lot of people are just saying, they're not as good as the other teams. We'll see what they do. I have a team in the American League that if they win the whole thing, wouldn't be surprised for a second. Plus, I don't think the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. They won 108 games, but I don't think they're going to win the World Series. We'll get into that story next. Don't go anywhere. Jake Asman in for the Boston the Gloss. This is SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Houston. Game over, division over. The Brewers are champions of the Central.
Jansen, here's the 0-2.
Got him!
And for the sixth straight year, the West belongs to the Dodgers. 5-2 the final. Walker Buehler, one of the heroes here today. And Charlie Blackman and company will head to Chicago and take on the Cubs in a wild card.
A pair of game 163s. And now we know all the teams in the postseason. We now know who all the teams are going to be playing. And pretty soon we're going to know the schedule for the entire Major League Baseball postseason. Jake Asman in for the boss and the gloss until 10 p.m. Eastern time. Before we talk baseball, a word from O'Reilly's, because one out of every four batteries will fail this winter. Get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly's has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. What a day for baseball. Two compelling games. Dodgers, you just heard both calls. Dodgers beat the Rockies 5-2. Milwaukee beat the Cubs 3-1. So we know the matchup. Wrigley Field tomorrow, one-game playoff winner advances to the NLDS. It will be the Cubs and the Rockies. And then on Wednesday in the American League, the Yankees hosting the Oakland A's at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. This, to me, is exactly what baseball imagined when they decided they wanted to add the second wild card. Today was why they added that second wild card. For a day like this, two divisions that needed that game 163 to be decided, and the loser had to play in that one-game playoff. There's so much strategy involved. Do you use all your best pitchers today? Because what happens if you lose? Well, then who's available for tomorrow? There's so much that goes into these games. And now, you look at the Cubs, they had to use Jose Quintana today. He's unavailable tomorrow. Well, tomorrow they have already said Cole Hamels is going to pitch out of the bullpen if John Lester gets into some trouble. Who's going to pitch for the Cubs if they win that wild card game? So there's such an advantage now to winning the division, which is what they wanted, which is why these games today were essentially extra playoff games. So baseball got what it wanted with this extra wild card. Days like today is what Rob Manfred and Bud Selig, what they envisioned when they added the wild card. I think it was 2012 was the first year. That's what they envisioned. But I look at the MLB postseason, and I'll start with the National League. And we talked about this in True or False, Jose. I think it's wide open, honestly. I think the AL, you can make a case for a lot of the teams as well. But I think the National League, I don't even know who the best team is. I would have told you the Cubs entering today, but now it's going to take a lot for them to do it. They got to win tomorrow, first off, which is not a given. Then they're putting themselves behind the eight ball. They got to use all their big-time arms tomorrow just to get to the divisional series. So I don't know who the best team in the NL is. Maybe it's the Brewers. They probably have the MVP of the league in Christian Yelich. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the upstart Atlanta Braves. But if you said, hey, Jake, this team's going to the World Series this year, are you surprised? My answer would be no for all the National League teams because I have no idea. I just don't know. We had two of the three divisions come down to a game 163, and the Braves battled the Phillies all year and then collapsed. But Atlanta's young and unproven. I can't count on them. Who's the best team in the National League right now? Who's that best team? And I look at a team like the Dodgers. The Dodgers, to me, are the closest thing we have to the 90s and 2000s Atlanta Braves. The difference? The Braves did win a championship. The Dodgers have now won six straight National League West titles. Six straight. They have a top three payroll in baseball year after year. The Dodgers have been to one World Series during this six-year run. One. And they lost it last year to the Astros, as we all watched. They got to win. A lot of pressure on the Dodgers to win. They have a drought that goes back to the 1980s. A lot of money. A team that should be able to contend. A lot of pressure on them. A lot of pressure on all these National League teams. But I think there's more pressure on the Dodgers than any team in the NL. And then I look at the American League. And I'll give you my picks a bit later. Maybe not tonight. I got to see the wild card games. But I'll give you picks. We'll do those on the weekend show. We'll tweet them out, the whole thing, at Jake Asman. But I look at the American League, and there are two teams that I think no one is giving enough credit to. No one's talking about them. Team number one is the Cleveland Indians. Don't sleep on the Cleveland Indians. Why? Because they have what wins in October. They have the big arms in their rotation. They could go toe-to-toe with the Houston Astros. And in a short series, I know everyone just thinks the Astros are going to dominate and do what they do. It's going to be a tough five games for the Houston Astros against the Indians. I would still pick Houston, but Cleveland's good. And they have a bullpen that could go out there and keep them in these games. The number one bullpen ERA in all of baseball this year was not the Yankees, it was the Cleveland Indians. So they have what it takes to win in October. Last year they came in as the hottest team, and the Yankees down 0-2 came back. Now no one's talking about the Indians. There's no pressure on them, it feels, even though they have the longest drought in pro sports right now. 1940, the last time the Cleveland Indians won a championship. I think the Indians are a scary team, and I think this is going to be a tough, tough series for the Houston Astros. And the other team's the Yankees. And you might say, well, Jake, how's no one talking about the Yankees? People said the Yankees were dead when they got swept by the Red Sox. But I'll tell you what. If the Yankees could get by the A's in a short five-game series with all the pressure on the Red Sox, Yankees bullpen, starting rotation, it matches up well against the Red Sox. And you trust David Price in a big spot? I know I don't. Don't sleep on the Yankees. If they get by the A's, I think they got a chance of going to at least the ALCS. One thing's for sure, baseball playoffs are definitely going to be fun.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
We continue here on SB Nation Radio. No David Gow, no Carla Dawson. It's me, Jake Asman, in for them another 20 minutes. And that is the gold standard coming up on many of these same affiliates here on SB Nation Radio. That will be at 10 p.m. Eastern time. We spent plenty of time on today's show talking all things NFL, but I want to get the perspective by someone who covers the entire National Football League. He normally joins me on my Saturday show. He's nice enough to give us a few minutes here on a Monday night. And now joining us on the BetDSI.com inside line is CBS Sports researcher Dan Budick. Dan, how are you tonight?
Jake, doing well. Good evening to you.
Let's start with this. What stood out to you in week four? I know we have a Monday night game going on. Ignore that game for a second. What about what we saw over the weekend and even on Thursday night with the LA Rams and the Vikings that really stood out?
Well, yeah, I think that what we saw on Thursday night, just as far as this Rams offense and what they're able to do and how they're able to get the ball downfield. They have so many weapons, but one thing I think that has stood out to me the most, Jake, is Jared Goff. And you want to say McVay, the system, he's an offensive genius, totally. He's done a great job taking a team that a couple years ago was last in the National Football League in offense, bringing them to one last year, number one last year. First team to ever do that in a one-year span, but Jared Goff has played tremendous. This guy is accurate. He can move and throw. And with that running game and how they're able to facilitate the ball, it plays right into his favor. I think the Rams are the real deal on offense. They're certainly, through four games, the team to beat in the NFL.
Now, we saw all four of the rookie quarterbacks this week, or all four of the ones that were taken in the first 11 picks of the NFL draft, start. All four lost. How would you evaluate what you've seen from the rookie quarterbacks so far this year, though?
Well, I think in each one of them, we've seen why they were picked so high and why they were so highly regarded and why this class was so highly regarded at the quarterback position and why these teams that took quarterbacks wanted and coveted these guys. All have done some really good things. I think you saw Baker yesterday make some mistakes late. They didn't have a couple calls go their way, and he threw that big interception at the end of regulation that took the game to overtime. Maybe that could have been an opportunity for the Browns to win, but you've kind of seen mistakes in each quarterback. We've seen less of Josh Rosen, but you certainly saw in the second half yesterday why he was regarded as one of the better quarterbacks in this draft and why people think he's got a lot of potential. Throws a really good ball, accurate, and certainly gave in the second half Arizona a good chance to win. So all these quarterbacks, they've done something, so a few things to make you think that they're going to be the real deal.
on the BetDSI.com inside line is CBS Sports researcher Dan Budik. I want to ask you about this. So earlier in the show, I was talking about how other than really the Rams, I don't know who the great teams are in the league yet. We're at the quarter pole, but you can make a case for so many different teams, and you can make the same case against some of these varied teams. I'll ask you the same question. At this point, besides the Rams, who are the great teams in the NFL right now?
That's a million-dollar question, right? Who's going to be playing in the NFC and AFC championship games? Who's going to be competing on Championship Sunday? And you're right. There is no one that you're looking at besides the Rams, in my opinion, too, where you're saying that team's going to be there at the end of the year. You know, we've seen all these teams that were there last year have their issues. We've seen Minnesota with that defense look like coming into this year. They'd be ready to go, and they've had some serious trouble the last couple weeks. Couldn't stop Buffalo 2 weeks ago. That should have been. Everyone, for all intents and purposes, thought that was going to be a layup. Wasn't. And last week they got burnt by the Rams, so them defensively are an issue. There's a lot of these teams, New England, they're getting some weapons back now. Everyone was concerned about them, but they're sitting at 2-2, and even though everyone's still high on the Patriots, there's kinks in that armor. You could see where they could be beat. So I think it's a great point. There's really no one that's standing out where you're like, wow, these teams are the best teams. You know, you look at Kansas City, all world on offense. We sit here at halftime, and Mahomes has 65 passing yards. They can't move the ball down the field. So it's really such a week-to-week league. There's so much parity, and anyone can win on any given Sunday. That's why I think it's so clear that L.A., the Rams, are the best team in the league, the way they've played the first 4 weeks, the consistency on offense. Defensively making big plays, forcing turnovers. They're clear-cut, I think, for 4 weeks, the best team in the NFL.
And we're spending a few minutes here with Dan Budik. He's joining us on the hotline, the BetDSI.com inside line. I want to ask you about Frank Wright. I'm sure you saw the play, everyone talking about it. Do you think Frank Wright had any sort of good excuse? Could you come up with anything of what he was thinking, why he decided to go for it with just 24 seconds left, a 4th-and-4 at his own 43 in that overtime period against the Texans yesterday? Can you come up with anything?
No, but I did, I have heard a lot of people today, you know, kind of defending Reich. You don't want to play for the tie. You want to play to win. And I agree, you want to play to win. But when you're sitting in your own end on your own 45, at that point in the game, you got to punt it. Because if you punt it, maybe Houston, who still had a couple of timeouts, I believe, in hand, would try to get in field goal range, make a play. You know, Watson's made some mistakes in the first couple of weeks. Maybe there's a fumble. Maybe there's an interception. You know, that's where you got to put your pressure on your defense to make a play. Offensively, if they were 20 yards further down the field, I would say, okay, maybe I understand why you would do it. You're not giving them tremendous field position, but you cannot risk not getting it and giving them the ball on your own 45-yard line. And one play ended up being the dagger. They go 24 yards or whatever it was down the field to Hopkins. And, you know, that set up a pretty much a chip shot field goal. So I can't defend it. I get Frank Reich doesn't want to tie. I get that. You don't play to tie, but you also play not to lose. You don't want to lose. At that point in the game, you got to understand where you are, how much time's left, and it wasn't a good decision, but I give him a lot of credit. He stood by it, and he said he would do it 10 times out of 10. I don't know how successful it would be, but you know, maybe there should have been a better play call. I don't know. It was a pretty vanilla play. You're thinking maybe in that spot they'd crank out something a little better on the play call side. But I was surprised by it, and certainly with the result, it cost them the game.
Spending a few minutes here with Dan Budik, CBS Sports researcher. I want to ask you about the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all watched them Sunday Night Football. Go out there and just play absolutely terribly in that second half on offense. How concerned should Steelers be? Should the Steelers be and their fans be about their team? And also, the news coming out a couple hours ago, Le'Veon Bell will be back after their Week 7 bye. How does he impact the Steelers team?
Well, he impacts them in so many ways, and you kind of saw that last night. And I give James Conner a lot of credit. He's come into a tough situation, and he's rushed the ball pretty good, all things considered. He's made some impact early in these games. And scored and kind of had filled that Le'Veon Bell void, quote-unquote. You watched last night's game, and you can see where this offense misses Le'Veon Bell. You know, when they're not able to run the football, Le'Veon Bell is able to find room. And Le'Veon Bell is able to catch the ball out of the backfield and become one of the best receivers in the National Football League. He's able to become one of the best guys in space in the National Football League. He slides through tackles. He picks up first downs. They missed that last night because I thought there were a lot of opportunities last night where you're watching that game and, you know, you're thinking on a second and 10 to set up a good third down later in late in the game. You know, they could really use Le'Veon Bell here. So I think out of all the games they've played last night, you kind of saw them craving for Le'Veon Bell. So kind of ironic that, of course, today it comes out that week seven he's going to come back. But there was a lot of concern. I mean, the Steelers couldn't move the ball last night. Second half, they were ghosts on offense. Big Ben looked out of whack. He threw that interception to Levine late in the game and just didn't see him underneath. And, you know, Ben's prone to making those kinds of mistakes, but certainly you got to be concerned. And defensively, they kind of hung around. They were able to force the Ravens to kick some field goals late, but the offense just couldn't handle it, couldn't come up with points. And they really missed Bell. So that's going to be a boost to get him back. But my question is, and what I'm so curious about, is how he's going to enter that locker room with everything that happened and everyone, the offensive line kind of throwing him under the bus and things coming out that, you know, people are upset with him in the locker room and in the organization. How is he just going to mesh with this team 7 or 8 games into the season? I'm so interested to see how this plays out.
And even if he does come back after week 7 and they're bye, next 2 weeks for the Steelers, Falcons and the Bengals, 2 games that are not going to be easy for the Steelers to win, especially when you get the Falcons next week. 1-3, they need the win just as bad as you do, as we're spending a few minutes here with Dan Butyk, who joins us usually on my Saturday show. Tonight he's making some time for us here on a Monday night. Let me ask you about this. So we just talked about the Steelers. How about the Baltimore Ravens? Are you buying what they have been able to do so far this year? Are they a legitimate contender in the AFC?
You know, the Ravens are one of the teams I'm looking towards next week on one of their games. And one thing that has stood out about Baltimore is the way they're moving the ball in the air on offense. You know, last year, Joe Flacco was dead last in yards per attempt in the NFL. I believe he was under 6 yards per attempt. And he's in the top half of the league this year. He's averaging 7.3 yards per attempt. So they're throwing the ball more downfield. They're making big plays. They're getting some huge contributions from their tight end, Max Andrews, Max with the double X. But he's been making plays. So they've been getting some contributions around the field. John Brown, who kind of – that acquisition kind of flew under the radar in the offseason. He's been one of the most explosive receivers in the NFL. So they have that deep game. They're going to get Hayden Hurst back, the tight end, the first-round draft pick out of Notre Dame. They're hopefully getting him back this week. They're very impressive on offense, and, you know, defensively, we know how good they are, and we saw it in the second half last night.
Dan, you're based in New York. We got a couple minutes left. Let's start with the Jets. We'll hit on both the New York teams that have both been really disappointing for obvious reasons this year. Let's start with the Jets. Todd Bowles, how hot is his seat with him right now?
I think it's as hot as it's been since he's been the coach, and, you know, you follow the team as close as anybody. They have some serious issues, and I think it's becoming more apparent every week that there's some issues maybe with respect to Todd Bowles or something going on where they are not getting through, the coaching staff is not getting through to these players about these penalties they're taking. You know, in the situation, they're kind of getting lazy in defensively. I mean, the Jets gave up more yards yesterday than they've given up in a regulation game in 15 years. So over 500 yards of total offense.
It's a Blake Bortles. It's unbelievable.
Blake Bortles without Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette didn't play. I mean, didn't play for much of this game. So I just think the Jets have some serious issues on their hands. And offensively, I know we've discussed this, the situations they've put Darnold in, I haven't been impressed. I've expected more out of Bates with the play calling. But they have a lot of issues. And defensively, they definitely got exposed yesterday over the middle. How many times was T.J. Yeldon wide open? How many times was D.D. Westbrook open over the middle of the field? I mean, it was nauseating. And we've kind of seen that the last couple of weeks, starting in that second half against the Browns, this defense has kind of faltered.
Dan, in 60 seconds or less, a word on the Giants. 1-3 last week. Everyone's feeling good about Eli Manning and his performance against the Texans. They come back home against a Saints defense that's not very good, and the Giants offense, which played great last week, didn't show up yesterday. What is wrong with this team offensively?
It's the same story offensively that it's been parts of the last 3 years with now 3 different head coaches and 2 different offensive coordinators. It's just a continued thing where they just can't move the ball down the field. They can't get explosive plays. They can't get the ball into the hands of Odell Beckham Jr. down the field, and that's what he's getting paid to do. And you saw Eli Manning the last couple of weeks. Well, not against Houston, but, you know, weeks 1 and 2, and then yesterday, he's just missing on some open throws that he's got to hit. When that protection is there, he's got to take advantage of his opportunities. And I think it's fair to say that Eli's played very subpar.
How long is the leash with Eli Manning?
I think they're. I think Eli's going to be their quarterback this season. I don't know. I don't see a situation where they pull Kyle Uletta and put him into the game. We saw what happened last year. Are the Giants really going to go in that direction again as this season spirals out of control? And then people are going to be questioning, well, why didn't you take a quarterback? Why didn't you take a quarterback in the first round if you want to see a young quarterback play? So the Giants kind of, if this season starts to spiral out of control, they might have their foot in their mouth here with the quarterback situation because they might have to make a change. Nice. At some point, whether it's draft or this year, because this season could easily spiral out of control. I mean, we're sitting here at 1-3, and you know they beat a Texans team which blew a 28-10 lead with 6:30 to go in the third quarter yesterday. Granted, they won. So how good is Houston? So you know they're 1-3. So the Giants really haven't done anything this year. They've looked very subpar, and we'll see if that changes.
Especially with their upcoming schedule. It doesn't get any easier for the Giants next week when they have to go to Carolina to take on the Panthers. He's Dan Buetekel. Join me each and every Saturday on my Saturday SB Nation radio show from 12 to 4 Eastern time. Dan, I appreciate you making some time for us this evening and look forward to talking to you later in the week.
You got it, Jake. Have a good week.
That's Dan Buetekel. Our guest lines are sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code WIN125 and get an additional 125% of your initial deposit today. Get all the plays and the inside line at BetDSI.com. We wrap up the show right after this.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
We wrap up the program here. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for tuning in. Jake Asman with you for a couple more minutes. And then Alex Gold and the Gold Standard. Jose, Alex is a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, so he has to do his radio show while his team is on the air in a primetime game, big spot. He's going to be freaking out. So must-listen radio when Alex Gold is on the air coming up.
I couldn't tell from all the screaming coming from the other side of the office.
Has there been screaming? I can't hear it through our soundproof windows.
A little bit of clapping, not really screaming.
He's a clapper. All right. I could be interpreted in a variety of different ways. What I just said. Scoreboard update, though. Chiefs looking to score and retake the lead. It is 13-10 with 9:35 to go in the third quarter. Third quarter just started a few minutes ago, and the Chiefs had a third and goal. It almost looked like Mahomes was going to throw a touchdown pass. Instead, it goes in and out of the receiver's hands, and the Kansas City Chiefs will settle for a chip shot field goal, which is up and good. So it's 13-13 with 9:30 to go in the third quarter. So that's been a close game. You just heard Dan Buetekel talk about it. Patrick Mahomes, as great as he's looked, tonight has not been his night so far. He's only completing about 50% of his passes. He does have a rushing touchdown, but this has been the first time the Chiefs have actually played a game that's low scoring. Every other game has been about 1,000 points combined between some of these matchups. But that wraps it up for me. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. Thanks to Dan Buetekel for joining us in our last segment. If you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available on my podcast page on iTunes and SBNationRadio.com. Thank you to Jose Partida for helping put the show together. David Gao and Carla Dawson, they'll be back next week. Alex Gold is next. It's the Gold Standard. So long, everybody.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.